Is your mouth watering right now, hearing those notes? It should be, because you know it's time for Radio Nibbles. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Shannon.
Nice to have you back, or nice for me to be back to yes.
Welcome back, and welcome everybody around the gigantic KGNU breakfast buffet table, wherever you are in the world listening. And, you know, we recently celebrated 45 years on the air for KGNU, which seems like incredibly long and historical and everything. But my guest owns a restaurant that was on the air, that was open and serving burgers 55 years before KGNU went on the air. The Sink. My guest is Mark Heinrichs, the owner of The Sink. Welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So what's your history with the, for those who don't know, and I have a hard time imagining that anyone doesn't, The Sink is an institution up on the hill for generations. I figured out it's at least 25 generations of students who and staff and professors who've eaten and celebrated and everything there. So it's known internationally. But how did you come into the Sink world?
Yeah, so my brothers and I were young 20-somethings, and we met the Kavars, who were business brokers, and they were talking to them about businesses they might have for sale, and they brought up that they were thinking of selling The Sink, and what do we think about that? So it started the conversation way back in 1992, and as young 20-somethings, I was only 26, Chris was 24, I think James was 28 then, we bought The Sink, and it became a life after a while. You know, you hit a certain point of doing something for so long, you figure you might as well stick with it.
And The Sink is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. And you decided to really capture the history of the place. And a documentary has been produced, which is going to be screened at the Boulder Theater on June 14th.
That's correct. Yeah, we have, over our 31, almost 31 years of ownership there, I've constantly, almost daily, heard stories from people of their time at The Sink. And we thought this was really the opportunity and appropriate moment to try to do something more formal about coalescing all these stories in this gigantic history. And so we commissioned a documentary with Pixel Mill Studios, and they really dug into it. I got to give those guys a lot of credit. They thought they could do something in 8 or 10 minutes. And after they started pulling on this thread and ending up with a truckload of yarn, they boiled down, I think it was 500 hours of material into a 30-minute documentary.
And I hope all of that footage eventually will go to the Museum of Boulder and be part of the kind of the historical archive.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And folks, I am in the documentary. A long time ago, this is before your time, in the late 1970s, I was cooking mostly and trying to write on the side. And I applied for a job at The Sink. I worked there for one night in the 1970s. I always say I worked at The Sink for a year one night. It was a very busy night. I was on the grill. And the fryer, it was wild and, you know, chaotic, and people were still smoking in restaurants in those days. And I decided that wasn't quite the thing for me, but I had fun talking about the history of the place. And, you know, there's only a handful of restaurants in Boulder that, well, obviously there's none that are 100 years old, but there's not even many that are 20 years old. Why has The Sink had so much staying power? I've seen hundreds of restaurants come and go. I mean,
sure. Yeah, I think, you know, you're an example of that. Just this legacy of memories and tradition has carried it forward. I mean, quite frankly, it has very little to do with Mark and Chris Heinrichs owning it. It's an entity and a force upon itself. It's really a public domain of a restaurant. So many people have so many memories, and at least once a month, somebody walks in saying it's their 50th anniversary and they met there, and or that their grandfather went to school there, and their kids are now in school at CU, and just these generations of affection that just carry forward.
It's called The Sink. That's not a reference to like a place where you clean your hands. Where did the name The Sink come from?
So there's actually used to be a fountain in the floor of the main room. And when we did a big remodel in 1995, we took the floors back down to the original concrete. And there's a disc in the floor where the fountain used to be. So I've confirmed that this actually existed. And the fountain gained the reputation for the establishment as The Sink instead of the Sunken Gardens.
But it was called Summer's Sunken Gardens.
Yeah, yeah, and nicknamed The Sink. From as early as I can find out, I met a woman that went to school at CU from 1928 to 1932, and she knew it as The Sink. So that's as close of a reference as I've been able to find. And somewhere around 1949 or so, the Sunken Gardens moniker was dropped off and The Sink was formally adopted. But there's lots of photos of the building with The Sink down one side of the facade and Summer Sunken Gardens down the other side of the facade. So it was always kind of known as both.
Yeah. Imagine the things that this restaurant has been witness to, besides Robert Redford working there. You know, World War I, World War II, Vietnam. There was rationing, there was pandemics, there was, you know.
The counterculture revolution during the 70s.
Yes, yeah. When the Hill was quite a bouncy place, let's just say. There was a lot of people don't remember how interesting things were.
Right,
there.
And the music history. I mean, people don't understand or aren't aware of how important Tulagi's was to the music history on the Hill, and The Sink was part of that too. So,
right. So the documentary is going to be shown next Wednesday night at the Boulder Theater. Tell me about that event.
So we're going to have the first viewing of it. I haven't seen the movie. I didn't know you were in it. I didn't even know you worked at The Sink. So I'm looking forward to seeing all those gems for the first time in person with everybody else that's there. And just this telling of the story, you know, I think Bruce and Mike at Pixel Mill, who knew of The Sink, weren't really part of The Sink. And so seeing how somebody else pulls together The Sink's history and what their perspective is will be really interesting.
Having just visited the newly revamped Casa Bonita, I'm thinking, you know, there's sort of a resonance there, you know, where a revived and revered, you know, institution really happened. The event is on the 14th is partially a benefit.
Yeah, so we're going to have a portion of the proceeds. We'll go to the Imagine Foundation, who we've worked with closely over the last, I don't know, 15 years or so.
And they are?
And so they're an organization that works with people with mental or brain disabilities, whether that's you're born with it or you had an accident or something like that. And they help people find jobs and you know, get back into the mainstream of life.
Will there be Sink burgers
at the event? that's a little bit of a complicated thing to pull together.
No, that was no, that was a kind of a joke.
But we will have our 1923 beer that was brewed just for us by Avery, so we'll have that on tap.
And that was the big year. And was there anything that happened in 1923 that you've discovered about, you know, when the restaurant started? I'm trying to think back. So it's post-war, right?
Yeah. You know, the population of Boulder then was maybe 12,000 people. So it's a much smaller city. So when you think about 12,000 people to 102,000 or whatever we're at now, it's a lot of change.
Yeah, the food scene's quite a bit different than it is now, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Boulder really, through our tenure of The Sink, Boulder really got on the map as a destination food place, and so many interesting restaurants have popped up, and you can find such great food in Boulder. The concentration of good food in Boulder per capita is on its own level.
Yeah. And let's see, Shannon?
Well, I'm going to ask you about what's in your Nibbles column today. You mentioned Casa Bonita. Did you write about it?
I didn't. What I wrote about, I interviewed the very well-known food writer, Ruth Reichel, who's one of the best-known you know, food authors in the country. She's coming to town to show a documentary on the precarious position that American farmers and ranchers are in. And so I talked to her a lot about those issues. I also asked her, what's the best thing you've tasted lately? And you can read about that in the Boulder Weekly today.
But what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
You know, I always like dishes that kind of cross genres. And I had Southwestern latkes. Latke, of course, crispy potato pancake, you know, traditionally served with applesauce, sour cream at Jewish delis. But at the Morning Glory Cafe in Lafayette, they serve a Southwestern latke Benedict, in effect. It was just really good. You know, there was just something about the green chili and all that with it that I really liked. The other thing I wanted to mention is that KGNU is having a plant sale. Sunday was not a good day to be shopping for plants. It was a little damp. We have a lot of wonderful vegetables and other plants at KGNU that you can pick up for a bargain down here. Come down and help the station.